And take your Bibles, if you would, this afternoon and open up to 1 Peter and chapter number 2 in the Word of God. 1 Peter, chapter number 2 in the Word of God this afternoon. I'd like to start here, kind of towards the end of this chapter, here in 1 Peter and chapter number 2. And if you would, just follow along. We're going to get one thought out of this, but the thought process really continues. These verses, all of them, build on one another, but there is a devotional thought that I want us to gather here in 1 Peter chapter number 2. This whole chapter really is incredible. I know you've read it many, many times for a Sunday afternoon service. That this congregation, we've dug into this passage. I preached messages out of verse number 1, 2, and 3. We did a series there. It's really laying aside evil. And then we're going to see some in verse number 13 and 14, submission to rulers. And really before you get into chapter number 3, which begins to deal with marriage and subjection in the marriage to each other, there is kind of this part right here towards the end of chapter number 2 that I think oftentimes we can almost skip over. We've heard it, we've seen it, but I want us to dig in to just one thought here. 1 Peter chapter number 2, look at verse number 21 if you would. Verse number 21, the Bible says this: "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us," watch very carefully, "leaving us an example, that ye should follow in his steps." Well, why should we follow in his steps? I mean, is there a reason? Well, watch what it says, verse number 22. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." For the next couple of moments, I want us to look at the example of Christ. The example of Christ. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would allow us to rightly divide the word of truth. In this moment, Savior, I ask, Lord, that we would take away one or two nuggets, Father, that we can apply to our lives. If we come in on a Sunday afternoon, God, and we're doing it for religious reasons, then forgive us. The goal is you. The goal is to learn. The goal is to be more like you, Jesus, as we walk out these doors. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would allow your word to break down the walls that, Father, we've built around our heart. And oftentimes, they're fleshly. And I ask, Father, now, Lord, that your word would be so powerful that it would convict, it would heal, it would forgive. But, Father, it would also encourage us where we need to be encouraged. We love you, Savior. Your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. In our life, you and I always have those that we follow. There are those heroes, there are those, examples that God has put into our life that you and I would say, I love this person. I try to be more like this person. There's even a word that we use, emulate. I'd like to emulate this person, a family that might be godly, a marriage that might be a godly marriage. It's a church that we want to come in and please God and glorify and worship Him. But it's not just an organization. It's not just a group of people and or an institution like marriage. But oftentimes there are those people that God puts in our life that we want to emulate or follow their example. In my life over the last year and a half or so as pastor, I've told you many times that there are men in my life that I love and have meant a great deal to me. My dad is most definitely at the top of that list. And I love the fatherly figure that he was in my life. I love the man of honor that he is, and a man truly of integrity. And I would say in my life, that my dad is that example. There was an older pastor, you've probably not heard of him, but pastored for many, many years in North Carolina, for a little while in Florida, and then in West Virginia while we were there in our ministry. And his name was Pastor Holder, and I loved Pastor Holder, and he was probably a pastor to Foe's age, maybe a little bit older, and it was somebody that I would glean from. He was a godly example while Carrie and I were young in ministry in my life. Carrie's dad, and Katie's dad, Pastor Steve Clayton, is someone that I love and has been an example to me. There's friends in ministry. I will tell you, my wife is one of those that has played a big part in my life. My mom and so many others that you, I know, are sitting here thinking of. Oh yeah, this person, mom, dad, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, as I spoke about this morning, Dale Strickland, Taru Marshall, Nyla Johnson, all of them when I was just little, all had a big impact on my life. There was an example, and we follow those examples. But let's put it this way. There is one ultimate example that we have in the Word that we ought to follow His footsteps. And when I say footsteps, I mean every footstep. And that is Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ left for us an example. He left for us footprints. He laid for us, watch this now, a foundation that you and I can follow in our lives. The Bible says here, leaving for us an example that we should follow in, watch very carefully, His steps. I want us to look very, make some application on just several things that in 2022 are very much applicable to our lives in following the example of Christ. First of all, we're going to see this afternoon that Christ left for us an example of unselfishness. Christ is unselfish. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that yet while we were yet sinners," watch very carefully, "Christ died for us." You and I deserve to die in our sins. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." But we understand that God took our sins upon himself, giving us life, giving us, you ready for this? Eternal life, giving for us this incredible redemption story. And so therefore, if we're going to follow Christ in his example, then you and I must live a life of, well, it's not all about me. The world that you and I live in is a very selfish world. In the world that you and I live in, we have to be right. It really is amazing. Even in the time, the decades that I've been on this earth, I can even remember a time in our nation where you would have blue and you would have red, or you would have Republican and you would have Democrat. And Brother Eric, you grew up in North Carolina as well. You remember the days where even though you had different opinions, you were able to reason. Even though you had different candidates, you were able to talk. Even though you had opinions, you were able to come together. Unfortunately, you and I know in the world we live that that's not the case anymore. It used to be our governors and our senators and those in the House, they would come together, and it wouldn't just be vote along party lines. It was they would do the best for the American people. Nowadays, we don't have that. Well, did you hear so-and-so didn't vote for it? That's not how it works. There's balance. But unfortunately, this is not a political statement or a speech. Unfortunately, we've allowed that mindset to come into the church as well. We have to be right in our standard. We have to be right in our preference. We have to be right in our circle. We have to be right in what we think is right. And can we come together and agree that the Word of God is the Word of God? Can I hear an amen right there? Can we agree that the Word of God is always right? Anybody agree with that? Amen? Okay, then you and I ought to agree that our foundation ought to be Scripture. Our foundation ought to be the Word of God. May we not live a life that is so selfish, you ready for this, that we have to be right. Can I tell you, friend, there are times when we are wrong. There are times in our life when we don't have to be right. I was talking with a young couple the other day, and it was funny because it reminded me of Carrie and I before we had kids. Nicole, I apologize. My voice is probably going to be gone here in a moment. But Carrie and I, before we had kids, let me tell you something. We were professionals at raising kids. We care. Girl, we knew it all. I mean, I remember being around family members. I won't say their name out loud, but I remember being around family. It wasn't Jeff and Katie because we had kids before them, but I remember being around family members. And man, me and Carrie would sit there and we'd like, we never let our kid act like that. Oh, we would. No way. They will never be like that. Like we were telling everybody, like we knew it all when it came to raising kids. And also, I remember we had kids. And also we realized, man, there's a little demons running around here. And like, we got the demons out. And man, nothing was working, George. We're trying everything. And I remember coming to the conclusion, Carrie, you remember this. We're sitting there and I was like, honey, we were wrong. And Carrie's like, we were wrong. And I'm telling you, that family never knew that we talked about them. But we went back and apologized. And we said, I'm sorry. We were wrong. We judged you. You had brats. Now we have brats. And it's not as easy as we thought. And you know, we came to realize we could be wrong. And can I tell you, friend, you can be wrong. And I can be wrong. But the Bible says, come, let us reason. Come, let us talk. Come, let us follow Christ's example of not living a life where it's me and my family and ours and we want it. And I brought this up several Sunday nights ago. Oftentimes, it's amazing that church has become such a spectator sport. It's become this entertainment of we walk into Crosspoint and they say, Pastor, what can you do for my family? What can you do for me? What's the type of music that we will do and we want to worship, and what's the student school classes that you have, and what about the nurseries? How can you get? And it's almost like this, it's me, it's me, it's me, and I want to, friend, that ought not to be. You and I ought to live a life like our Savior Jesus Christ that is unselfish. You say, okay, so Pastor, what do we do? Well, throughout the month of July, it's going to be very practical, which is devotional, but here's what we're going to work on this week. You ready for this? Is living a life that's unselfish. Gentlemen, that means putting our wives first. Ladies, putting your husband first. Kids, understanding and putting your parents first. Putting brothers and sisters in Christ first. Are we all going to all get along and we all going to agree on everything? Like, we're not. It's not going to happen. Carrie, I'll drop my water somewhere. And I don't know, somebody always steals it. Just wait a minute. I need water. Brother Nick, can you run to the bank and just grab me water real quick? I apologize for that. Understand, this week, here's what we're going to work on. We're going to work on being unselfish. Put someone first. I don't care if it's whatever your weakness is. For some of you, it's driving, okay? And you're on 36, put somebody else first. Well, it's the right of way is mine. Like, I honestly don't know why we cannot figure out roundabouts. Like, I'm just going to say it. You do not have to stop at a roundabout. And all God's people said, and some of you are just educated. I hope you got it tonight, okay? If it's you in the roundabout on 10th Street, we got about five or six. Look, just go around, but if somebody cuts in and then there's their stop, you have to honk your horn. You don't have to give them the old Baptist wave. You can just, thank you, brother. You can just, hey, put somebody first. When somebody was for kids in the room, I want my meal and I want it first. Put a sibling first. Husband, wife, think about each other this week. Number one, Christ is unselfish. Number two, would you write this down? Number two, Christ is understanding. Not only is he unselfish, he's also understanding. The psalmist said it like this. The Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth. Now watch, we're not going to like this. He remembereth that we are dust. Christ is understanding in our life. When Christ had his ministry on earth, he had great compassion on the sick and the lame and the blind and the sinful. And he is the same today. Go to Hebrews and read chapter 13. And friend, you'll realize very quickly that our God is a God of great compassion. Christ understands and cares about our infirmity. Christ cares and he understands our needs. And we should understand and also be caring for those that are around us, caring for those who are less fortunate or needy, or I'm just going to put it this way, also sinful. Friend, in the day and age that we live, it has become I'm going to go as far to say carnal and or ungodly at the way that we treat the sinful. I want to remind us, we're all sinners. The fight that some Christians have taken up against homosexuality or against abortion, friend, let me tell you, I stand against it too. But the way that it has become in our nation so pitifully ugly, and the name calling and the putting down and the disgust and the, should we be disgusted at sin? Somebody help me out, amen? But let's remind it, those who are involved in that sin are sinners just like you are and just like I am. And we're never going to win an abortion doctor to the Lord calling them the names that we're calling them. We're never going to win the homosexual, gay, and lesbian community that's right here in Indianapolis to the Lord, treating them the way that many Christians treat them. It's not our cross to bear to call them names, and they're this, and they're that. Is the sin disgusting? Absolutely. But I want to remind you, it's more than the sin. They have a soul, and that soul is going to spend an eternity somewhere. And you and I ought to live a life of compassion and love, and not, well, did you hear about them and all their stuff, this, and this, and this, and this. I'm just telling you, friend, man, let's have some compassion. Let's realize they need to see God's love and His compassion and His mercy and His grace. Is anybody with me tonight? That is you and I. We serve a God that's understanding of us. I want to remind us this afternoon, Bert, we have not arrived. Hold on, Brother Lingle. It's not that we've reached the apex and now we're little gods, little g. We're not. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. What are we? I'll tell you what we are. The Bible says it. You ready for this? Dust. Well, I'm the one that God uses to worship Him. He said He can make the rocks call out. He used a donkey in the Old Testament. You say, Pastor, you're really cutting us down. I'm not. What I'm saying is God is understanding and looks at us and wants to use us. It says we are worth everything to Him. He looks at our lives, and as pitiful as it may be at times, He says, I love you, and I got a plan for you, and I got a pep for your step, and I've got a way for you to go, and I'm going to use you in a great way. Why? Because He is understanding. And my friend, what I'm telling you is in our area, God is bringing in so many different types of nationalities. May we be understanding. He has brought in, and we know, and I see, and it aggravates me just as it does you. We got a lot of homeless that are downtown Indianapolis. Can I tell you, friend, why don't we be compassionate and understanding? Well, if I give them a dollar, they're just going to go buy booze. And so I'm just going to yell. I mean, no, hold on. Is that what we've been called to do? No, you know what we've been called to do? Give the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Somebody's gone astray, and we might have a teenager that, man, they used to serve, they used to be in church, and now we look at their Instagram or TikTok, and they're far from God, and boy, they're not serving the Lord, and their family's faithful in church, but boy, what a mockery they've made of God. Let me tell you something, friend. They don't need a lofty look. They need Jesus Christ. And they need us to understand and have that compassion. Those who are depressed, well, I'm just telling you, need to get in church and three to thrive. Look, a person that is away from God, whether it be sin or depression or bitterness or whatever the case it might be, who has hired us to beat them while they're down? No, may we be Christians and realize they need uplifting. They need encouragement. They need the Word of God. They need a seat to come in with us at Crosspoint. And not this, well, yeah, I've been here in a while, so take your seat. No, they need us to put an arm around them, hug them, love them. Come on in. Let's sing the hymns. Let's get under the preaching and realize that's the example that our God left for us. He's understanding, but would you write this down? Christ also left us the example that Christ is unfailing. He's unfailing. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 8 says it like this. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. Hold on, Christian, listen. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You see, Christ is an unfailing friend. He said, He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Christ is dependable and He is trustworthy. And so therefore, when you and I follow his example, then you and I are true to God, you and I are true to others, and you and I are true to ourselves. And may you and I have a community of believers that is unfailing. That means this, we are there for each other. We're there to help pray and love and communicate and be there for our brothers and sisters in Christ. I know sometimes this rubs our feathers the wrong way, but I think sometimes we need to hear. Remember, I taught it during discipleship. The church is not here and has not been commissioned to find people friends. I have not been called to find people friends. You know what I've been called to? I've been called to preach. Well, I've been coming to church for so long and I just don't have any friends. Well, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. That's what the Word of God says. I can't help somebody there. And I used to do it in the youth group all the time. Remember, I was so worried if somebody walked in the youth group, man, I'd be running over. DJ, go talk to them. Somebody go sit with them. But they're going to leave the church because nobody's being their friends. Okay, I had to get over that eventually. And like, okay, you want to have friends? Show yourself friendly. But let me say this. We're not here to set up and make a community of, okay, we got to pair everybody up and everybody's got to have friends and nobody. And it's kind of the way I think, but that's not what we're called to do. You know what we are called to do is be friendly. It's to follow God's example and to, you ready for this? Be a friend. I can't judge everybody. Well, Brother Hayes, it's been 3 weeks since you walked through the line and haven't shaken my hand. I know I was gone for one, so I'll give you that one. But the other two, you and Miss Hayes, have not been through the line. Hold on. Like, why am I going to sit here and just judge? I just got to realize I have to be a friend. I have to be a friend. I have to get around. I have to reach out. Co-workers and those in restaurants and those at gas stations. You know what I've been called to do? Get the gospel out. I can't get the gospel out if I'm an unfriendly person. You and I have to have a community of believers that's, watch, unfailing. That means this. We're going to be there for each other. We're all going to go through hard times. Brother Denny and I hugged this morning, and Denny's become a great friend. As we're sitting there, he said, man, I just appreciate you, Pastor. Maybe this was on Thursday. I can't remember. It was either this morning or Thursday. Man, I appreciate you being there for me. And I said this. I said, Denny, I know you'd be there for my family. You know why? That's the way that works. That's the way the church is. It is unfailing. It's being there. And I just want to tell you, as we continue to grow at Cross Point, man, I love it. And I praise the Lord for the visitors that are coming in. And praise the Lord for our Sunday school teachers. Brother Rod Burwell, how many did you say you had today? They had 30 kids this morning in their class. Will somebody help me out? Amen. Say, oh, that's too many kids. That's a blessing. It is too many kids, so. But I'm just telling you, praise God for that. Little minds and little kids run around. Man, God is blessing. But as we continue to grow, may we grow together and realize that we're going to go through some hard times together. Be there for each other because Christ has always been there for us. Would you write this down? Number four, Christ is undaunted. The Bible says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You see, Christ kept the faith. He completed his purpose. He was undaunted. Hold on. He was undaunted by persecution. He was undaunted by ridicule and even death. And did you know that you and I are more than conquerors through Christ? No matter if it's trials or troubles or testings, no matter what comes our way, we must be like Christ. Undaunted means that nothing shakes them. Now, this is an afternoon service, so I'm just going to be a little bit more applicable, and then we're going to be done. I told the day blows this afternoon. I am not pushed around easy. There's things that I know is the Word of God, and I'm just going to stand with the Word of God. And I've had my fair share of those who believe other things and debates. And there's not a lot when it comes to Word that's just going to just push me over. I'm going to be, shaken to my core. Like, I've read the Bible. I know the Bible. I've studied. I've got degrees in it. Like, I'm good. So I'm not really undaunted, which means when it comes to the Word, I'm going to stand firm. But there are things in life that push me quickly, and they're so silly. When people come over to our house, I am type A, every baseboard, every fan, Everything has to be cleaned. There's vacuum lines, and kids, don't walk on the vacuum lines because we're going to make a good impression on whoever's coming over. And I am this type of, I gotta get the blower out, and we gotta blow off the front. I just blew off last night. That's what my wife says. You blew it off last night. Nothing happened last night. Yeah, but there might be something. I gotta go out there and I gotta blow it off, and I'm always worried, and I gotta get it just perfect. What's going on this afternoon in our house? There's a progressive dinner at our house this afternoon, and I'm trying to cut out early because I gotta make sure that we're ready to go. I'm not even involved in the progressive dinner, but I got to make sure that our house is ready to go for the progressive dinner. Let me tell you what that is. You know what that is? I'm being pushed to and fro, and I'm worried, and I'm concerned about something. You ready for this? You're laughing at me. You know why? It's, I don't know, Pastor Dan, if I'm saying stupid, but it's silly. It's foolish. But can I tell you, in life, that's the life we live, and some Christians live every single day. Worried about sickness, worried about health, worried about bills, worried about politics, worried about midterms, worried about this person, that person. I say, in my life, there are silly things that I worry about that I'm daunted in. I cannot go anywhere. If we have a fellowship, it is in me. If I'm not even running the fellowship, I have to make sure that everybody's being talked to. Carrie, is it not the truth? She gets on to me all the time. She's like, would you sit down? I'm like, girl, you better submit right now, okay? Because I got to get around and make sure that everybody's, and man, me and Carrie, we're always going back. I got to, oh, the Hayes don't have somebody to talk to. Come over here. Oh, Brother Harvey, talk to them. You know, I go crazy. And I'm sure you look at that and you say, how foolish. But our God looks at us every day at the things we get daunted at, fearful of. Let me remind us, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And the little things of life that we're so worried and ticky-tack, they didn't fall in line, they didn't do this, the kids did this, this, oh, Facebook said, oh, they insinuated. Stop! Because we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Christ left for us an example. Could I go on 20 more? Yeah, I could. But there's a progressive dinner that's going on. This week, here's what I want us to practice. You ready? Be more like Christ. Did you catch that? Be more like Christ.